I'm going to begin reading with verse 17 of Luke chapter 5. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before the message this evening. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings tonight, and we thank you for this time that we can meet together in your house in your name. Lord, we thank you for the good singing. Thank you for the good fellowship. And Lord, we thank you for this time that we can look at your word, and we pray that you'd give us a teachable heart, help us to receive what you've given. Lord, we thank you for this passage, and Lord, I pray that you would increase our faith, as we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to every heart in every need, the burdens, the cares, that one that may be here unsaved, needing you as their Savior, that one away from you, that one going through a difficult time. And Lord, we know that you can meet every need, and your grace is sufficient for every need. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us for these few moments this evening as we look at this passage. And we'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we see several wonderful things about the Lord. And, of course, at this time, he had healed some folks. And it says all through here in these passages, and as you read the Gospels, you'll find that he healed all that were sick that came to him. Those that wanted to be healed and came to him were healed. And as a matter of fact, he healed some that weren't able to come to it. His ability to heal was well known. Now, in this passage, we find that there was a paralyzed man who we don't know what other condition he may have been in, but we knew he'd been in that condition a long time. And we find that the power of the Lord was present to heal, as it says here in this passage in verse 17. It says, And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. This bed was probably some kind of cot, something like maybe an army cot, something that they could carry, four men could carry. I don't know if you've ever tried to carry someone on a cot or something like that, but they can be heavy. It can be awkward, depending on what kind of cot or emergency bed that might be. But it's for four men to carry one man. He was probably not very heavy, probably had not been able to eat or gain much weight. And so he may not have been very heavy, but I'm sure it was still kind of awkward to bring him to the Lord. And they're bringing him to the Lord, and they see this house that's filled, a multitude of people. They can't get him in. And you see the picture here. Verse 18, Behold, men brought him in a bed which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And, of course, we know that the Pharisees were there. It says here clearly Pharisees and scribes were there, and Pharisees and doctors of the law, it says in verse 17. They knew the Scriptures well, didn't they? They knew the Old Testament. They had studied it. They had even added to it. They had added requirements and rules and regulations to the law. And they were originally, the Pharisees were a good outfit, a good group of men that had, they were trying to protect the integrity of the law, of God's Word. But their power and their knowledge and their fame and all that kind of went to their head in many ways. And they thought they were over people. They thought they had their own righteousness. Their familiarity, the scribes were copiers of the Scripture. You know, they didn't have copier. I started to say Xerox copy. You probably don't even know what a Xerox copier is. You're so, you know, you remember the mimeograph machines and things like that and copiers. Well, they didn't have any of that. They didn't have means by which to make, they didn't have a Heidelberg press. They had to copy it by hand. And copying by hand, they became very familiar with what it said. And they were meticulous about it. And the scribes, even the scribes gained a notoriety and an honor or respect of being keepers of the law and doctors of the law. And so they were respected, but their faith was in themselves, not in the Lord in many cases. There were Pharisees. Of course, we know Nicodemus was. It came to Jesus by night. And of course, the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee. There were others, no doubt, that got saved, that saw themselves as sinners in need of a Savior. But for the most part, they were wrapped in their own self-righteousness and did not see their need of Christ. The truth is, they were jealous of Him. They wanted to destroy Him. They didn't like the fact that He was listened to. They didn't like the fact that He was followed. They were afraid that He would take their position and their power. Scripture says that. They were jealous of the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone should have recognized Him for who He was, it should have been them. They should have recognized Him as being the Messiah and the Old Testament prophecies that He fulfilled. They should have recognized that and received Him. But they didn't. They were filled with jealousy and pride and envy. And the only thing they could do was think about destroying Him. They wanted to catch Him doing something that they could accuse Him of. They talked to Him in ways by which they thought they could entrap Him in His own speech. Can you imagine trying to do that to the Lord Jesus Christ? Trying to play head games with the Lord? Didn't work, did it? As we read the Scriptures. They were no match for the Lord. And we see here that here in this passage, we see several things here. These four men that had this paralytic man, their faith, we see their determination. We see the faith of the paralyzed man too, I believe. I don't think he would have agreed with going along with what they were doing had he not thought the Lord could heal him. And in Bible days, this house that that Jesus was in and everybody was in, it was so full, it was a packed out house, wasn't it? And so they couldn't get in there. And the houses had roofs on them. We've talked about that a little bit in Sunday school. Had roofs that you could actually go up on top. And they were stable enough where there's like a patio. And the steps were on the outside of the wall where you could go up to the top of the house and with a flat roof. And so I'm sure this was the case with this, where they could carry this man up the stairs in on this cot, as it says here. Verse 19 says, "And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus." Now, get the picture of this now. I'm sure it had to be a large house and was probably very well built for the day. And these men carry him up. And I'm sure that was tedious and it was awkward. And they're carrying him up these stairs and taking him out on the roof. I'm sure it was an effort physically for them to do that. It was not an easy task. And they got up there and then they started tearing the hole in the roof. And things probably started falling down on the inside, you know, straw and maybe a piece of plaster or something here. You know, little things fall. What's going on up there? They're hearing something. And all of a sudden they get it open. They're tearing it open. And they lower this man down in the right in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at it. It says in verse 20, "And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." Isn't it interesting that he said, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee"? He forgave the sins of the paralytic men. He didn't say anything about the ones who brought him in, but he had seen their faith. Maybe they had already been saved. Maybe they were bringing this man not only for physical healing, but for spiritual healing. And he says, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." Now, that in some realms or in some situations, that might not have been what they wanted to hear, what folks were expecting. They wanted the healing to take place. And it did. But let's read the rest of the story here. "And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies?" See, a blasphemy is a disrespectful statement about God, making fun of God, making yourself equal with God, or we would call it something, a sacrilegious statement, blasphemy. It says, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And that's true. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Only God can forgive sins. "But when Jesus perceived their thoughts," verse 22, "He answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk." Now, which is easier to say? I think they're both equally easy to say. Right? They're easy to say, but which one could be recognized is the key. Which one can be recognized? Well, sins can be forgiven, but that would not be noticed immediately. Maybe there'd be of course, if he was truly saved, his life would change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A changed man, no doubt they would see some fruit in his life in time, in the day, and no doubt if his sins were forgiven, he rejoiced in having that burden of sin lifted. Maybe peace flooded his heart knowing his sins were forgiven. You know how it felt when you were saved, and you say, "Well, I know it, we're not saved by feelings." I know, but it sure does feel good. It sure does feel good to know that our sins are forgiven, that the sins are gone. The burden's been lifted, the guilt, the remorse, all that's gone. It's been washed away. It does feel good to be saved, although we're not saved by feelings, we're saved by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. But not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This man hadn't worked. He did not do anything to merit salvation. It was simply by faith, wasn't it? By faith alone. And now there's folks today that would say, "Oh yes, we believe in Christ. We believe that Christ is essential for salvation." But they don't stop there. They say it's Christ plus this, Christ plus church membership, Christ plus baptism, Christ plus communion, Lord's Supper, plus confirmation, plus this, plus that, plus... But that's not what the Scripture says. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He is the only way. Now, that's not acceptable with some folks. It's not welcomed among those who would say, "Well, there's many ways to heaven. While there's this way and there's that way." Well, it's like going, I don't know where we could go from here, maybe down to Columbus. There might be several ways of getting to Columbus from here. Go down 42 and jump off something else and get do that, go down 71. Just like going to Columbus, there's many ways going to Columbus, there's many ways to going to heaven. Well, we're not talking about Columbus, we're talking about heaven. And the Bible says there's only one way, and Jesus is that way. If there were many ways, how would we know when we had the right way? Would we ever be satisfied that we had received or practiced or was going the right way? The only way that we can have peace in our heart that our sins are forgiven is if we go through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that provides satisfaction. He's the only one that can give the peace that our sins are gone. And so, he says, What reason in your hearts, whether it's easier to say thy sins be forgiven or to say rise up and walk? Well, you can't see whether it's, they couldn't see whether this man's sins were forgiven. So here's what the Lord does. Says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. Yes, he not only had the power to forgive sins, he had power to give this man his ability to walk. He could heal him. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is God. Don't ever be afraid to admit that, believe that, confess that, share that, that he is God the Son. There seems to be a, I don't know what, where it came from or why there's this doubt or apprehension about calling him God, and there shouldn't be whatsoever, because he's either God or he's either the greatest imposter. He's a liar. Because how could he be just man like we are, just human flesh like we are, without being God and be sinless? He couldn't be. He is the sinless Son of God. Only God could be sinless. Of course, the Scripture says, all God was manifest in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Time and time again, the Scripture tells us that Christ is God. The very fact that he was sinless in the wilderness tells us that he is God. The power that he has to forgive sins tells us that he is God. Only God can and should be worshipped. He is the only one. He never rejected worship. He always welcomed worship because it was right, because he was God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, yes, God in the flesh. The Lord Jesus became man without ever ceasing to be God, has always been God. Now, we understand he took some limitations upon him when he came to this world. Otherwise, no one would have been able to even look upon him. He took those limitations upon him, but that didn't change the fact that he was still God in the flesh. And for the first time in all of eternity, it made it possible for God to die in our place. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And only God can do that. You see, you or I, either one of us could die on a cross, couldn't we? But it wouldn't save anybody. It wouldn't save us. It wouldn't save anybody else. Only Jesus was qualified to do that because he was God. And so they asked, they say, well, who can forgive sins but God alone? And that's so true. But that ye may know, verse 24, that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house. And immediately he arose before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Well, I'm sure they were quite excited about that. Wouldn't you like to have been there? I would have. I'd like to have seen that. I think the man not only was happy that he was healed, but he was happy that he was born again. His sins had been forgiven. Now, as we look at this, I want us to think about also the fact, what was the most important thing that happened to this man this day? Was it that his sins were forgiven, or was it that he was able to walk again? We know that it was because his sins were forgiven. That which was eternal happened to him. Oh, it was great for that temporal need to be met. It was wonderful. And we know that when the Lord Jesus Christ healed folks, it was something to rejoice about. The leper that was healed, just a passage over. All these times that folks were healed, the wonderful grace of the Lord being benevolence and love of the Lord being bestowed upon folks. But that's not the main purpose of his coming. That proved he was who he said he was. This passage here, him healing this man, proved he was who he said he was. It proved that he had power on earth to forgive sins. The same was true with the apostolic miracles. It gave the authority of their message that they were true, they were right, they were of the Lord. They gave witness of the resurrection. They shared the Word of God, the apostles did. Read through the book of Acts and see how that the Word of God and the message of the resurrection had the preeminence, Christ. had the preeminence, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's what made the difference. Immediately he rose up before them, verse 25, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Do you think he just said, woohoo? I don't know what he was saying, but I'd say the neighbors were wondering what happened. I'd say they saw a difference in him. They heard him coming down the lane and say, something's happened to Joe. Something's different about him. Why, he could walk. But do you think he was talking just about the fact that he could walk? I believe he was glad that he was saved, that that load of guilt, of sin was gone. And they were all amazed, verse 26. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. That's a, kind of an understatement, isn't it? I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I'm hoping that the Lord has it set up somehow where we can see things that happened back in Bible days. He can show it to us on the big screen or something. I don't know what you'd call it, but I'd like to see what that looked like, wouldn't you? I'd like to see that. I would like to talk to this man and let him tell me, what was it like when you were being let down through that roof on by those ropes? Were you thinking, I hope one of them don't slip? Did you know, he might have been thinking that. He might have been thinking, what am I doing? What are we doing? And what about the ones letting him down? Hand begins to sweat a little bit. And he says, I think I'm going to let him slip. Hang on. Hang on down there. We're going to get you down there. We sometimes, it's sometimes hard to picture what it may have been like. And it's anything that where we weren't there, that's the way we look at it. And we won't know until the Lord shows it to us someday or we talk to the ones who it happened to. It'll be fun and exciting talking to those whom the Lord saved. Won't it be wonderful to talk to Lazarus? Wouldn't you like to see that, where Lazarus came forth out of the grave wrapped in grave clothes? Hearing the Lord's voice saying, Lazarus, come forth. What a time. What a time that must have been. And these Pharisees and these scribes missed the whole thing. They were blind to it. They rejected it. They weren't going to believe it no matter what they saw. Is that not strange? That they could see what all they saw and still not believe? You remember what they said to him on the cross as they walked by? If you be the Christ, the Son of God, come down from the cross and we'll believe. Well, all this that they did, even the raising of Lazarus, did not change their faith or their belief. As a matter of fact, even after Lazarus was raised from the dead, they were trying to figure out how they might kill him again. Is that not ridiculous? It's ridiculous. You see, childlike faith can take God at His word. The faith of these men that brought Him, they didn't look at that as being a chore too hard or too difficult or something that they shouldn't do. I think they were glad to do it. I think they were excited about what the Lord was going to do, because everybody else that had asked or sought His healing and was there, the Bible tells us He healed them all. Not some of them, not most of them, but all of them. Kind of a contrast with the present day healers today, as the pastor has said not long ago. Notice it says in verse 26, and they were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with what? Fear. Have you ever heard it said, there's no fearing of God in this country anymore? The word means reverence. It means an awareness of His power, an awareness of His greatness, an awareness of His ability. They glorified God and were filled with fear. Well, if they glorified God, they connected that with Christ, right? Then He was to be praised. God got the glory for what happened that day. Maybe not from the scribes and Pharisees. Maybe some of them did. Maybe there was a few of them that did. But for the most part, they still rejected him. But some saw what happened and believed. Some placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ because it was not only what he did, it was what he said. He said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Pastor, would you come, please?